The word today is healed. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. Our Savior, Jesus, showed His divine power by healing people. He did not heal only a few, but likely hundreds were healed by Him. We may wonder why, if we believe in Jesus, we are not healed today like the people He met. The healings Jesus and the apostles performed had a very important purpose: to substantiate Jesus as the world's Messiah. Here to discuss this important topic further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Healed.
One of the topics that Christians enjoy talking about and enjoy sharing experiences about is healing, specifically faith healing or miraculous healing. And there don't seem to be healings like this happening every day in the church today, and some people wonder why that is the case. I believe the primary reason is because these miraculous healings that were done in the gospel accounts in the New Testament and in the book of Acts by the apostles were primarily to substantiate Jesus as Savior, in order to prove miraculously that He is the Christ, that He is the Savior, and that the message that was being preached by Jesus about His kingdom and by the apostles was verified by signs and wonders, so that everyone could see that Christ and His message was of divine origin. And yet the healings that take place are so fascinating, so interesting. I'd like to think about one particular aspect of those healings today, and that is the faith and the trust that the individuals placed in Jesus. There's an account in Mark chapter 5 where there is sort of a healing within a healing. There's a man named Jairus who comes up to Jesus. He's a synagogue ruler, and he knows his daughter is dying, and he comes to get Jesus because he has faith that Jesus can save his daughter from dying. Eventually, his daughter dies, and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And then he goes to Jairus' house, and he raises the little girl from the dead by saying, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." One of the phenomenal, fantastic healings of Jesus, a resurrection from the dead. Jesus demonstrated His divine authority exceeds even death. And in the middle of that, Jesus is interrupted in the crowd by a woman who thinks, "If I can just touch His robe, I'll be healed." And sure enough, as she touches Him, her internal bleeding stops. Jesus notices that there has been power going out from Him. It's kind of interesting how God the Father seemed to have had this worked without Jesus' direct knowledge. And then Jesus stops, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" The woman admits it, and Jesus says in Mark 5, verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I like that phrase, "Your faith has healed you." And people talk today about faith healings, and sometimes I think they're a little off base, as though someone's given the capacity or the power to heal anyone at will. And I really don't see that happening except for Jesus and the apostles. Today, it seems like miraculous healings can happen, but they seem more indiscriminate, like when God wills it, for whom God wills it. And one of the things we have to watch out is that we don't get into a trap of thinking that if an individual who has pleaded with God for healing doesn't get that miraculous healing, that somehow their faith is defective. Let's recall how Paul the Apostle had some kind of infirmity. He called it a messenger of Satan to torment him. It must have been a really aggravating, maybe extremely painful suffering, something physically. And he pleaded with God three separate times. He went to God and pleaded with Him to have it taken away. In other words, "Lord, grant me healing." Now, would anyone doubt that Paul had faith enough to be healed? Would anyone doubt that it would have been a wonderful thing that would have brought glory to Jesus and substantiated the power of God through Christ? Yes, in all this, we would say, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Then why did God not heal him? In the case of Paul, it seems as though Paul had had visions of heaven. It may have been during a near-death experience. And Paul said that in order to keep him humble, God allowed him to retain this infirmity, this difficulty, in order to keep him humble. And that should remind us of something, that just because we think somebody needs or should get miraculous healing, that's not necessarily God's holy, perfect will for them. Now, let me explain that. In this life, in our current state, in this circumstance, there's going to be people who get healing, and there's going to be people who do not get miraculous healing. There's going to be individuals who, on the other side, will undergo great suffering and tribulation, and there'll be individuals who will not go through that kind of tribulation. It's a whole spectrum of the Christian experience, and some people will get phenomenal blessings, like the Virgin Mary, a singular event in which she was used by the Lord in such a unique way, and the vast majority will not get this. And then there will be times of great suffering and hardship that some will experience. Does that mean God's not pleased with them? Does that mean they had deficient faith or did not have faith in God to be delivered from the evil? No. There's very faithful people in the book of Revelation that are written to by Christ, and he tells them, he is aware of their hard work. I'm trying to think, was this the church I don't think it's the church of Smyrna. It might have been the church of Philadelphia. Can't think of it right offhand. I think it was the third letter of Jesus in Revelation to the churches. And he says, I know your hard work and suffering, but he says, persevere. Satan is going to test you, some of you, by throwing you into prison, and be faithful even to the point of death, and you will receive the crown of life. So some people get miraculous healings. Other people get torture and imprisonment and death. This is not a statement of their faith. There is one critical thing, though, about any kind of miraculous or faith healing in the name of Jesus. It requires trust in him, confidence in him. The people that come to Jesus, like Jairus or this woman, they have confidence that Jesus can do this. And he does the miracles in order to substantiate that faith. Disbelievers, the Pharisees who condemned Jesus, the teachers of the law who opposed him, they don't get the miracles. And it's the same thing today. If you distrust in Christ, if you don't care, if Jesus means nothing to you, don't look for miracles. Don't look for healing from God if you don't care about Jesus. Not going to happen. Christ is the source of healing and restoration and redemption for us. And you need to come to Jesus first and foremost, because without him, you're consigned to hell. You're heading for an eternity without God. So first and foremost, the healing, as we could call it, that Jesus brings you is redemption from sin and eternal life. And even in the cases of all these individuals, like Jairus' daughter and this woman healed of her internal bleeding, and even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, temporary. All of these healings were temporary. The real healing that Jesus is going to bring to his followers that is permanent, that is eternal, is the resurrection from the dead. This is ultimately what he wants to bring us. Some of us will get a little taste of it, a little bonus healing before we die. Some of us will get suffering and pain and sorrow. It's all up to the Heavenly Father what track we're on, what the experiences we are. We're the servants of Jesus. We don't have a say in the matter. If we are ever going to have an incident of miraculous healing, it calls for trust in Christ. Those who don't believe in Jesus don't get healings. I think this explains a little bit why we have this experience where some people get a miraculous event and some people don't. I do not anticipate that in my life I would get a miraculous healing. The vast majority of people do not. We are told that we have to bear up under our suffering. We are told that we will be at odds with the world. We're told that we have the frailty of sin in our bodies. So we should not expect that just because we believe in Jesus, we're going to get a miraculous healing. I don't think that's realistic. What is realistic is putting our faith in Christ and hoping on Him for the ultimate healing, the resurrection and life eternal. It is wonderful when God does a special miracle, when He deems to visit someone with His touch and cure them, heal them, restore them. I have known some individuals like this. There was one instance where I was praying over a woman in a hospital whom they thought was dying. And the next day, and I was just commending her to God and nothing special. And the next day, the family called so excited, she's fine, she's healed and all. And that's the only time I was involved in something that might have been called a miraculous healing, an instant healing by the Lord. I think these are far and few between. Give praise and glory to God when they happen, but let's keep our eyes focused on the primary reason these healings happen was to substantiate that Jesus is our Savior. He is the only one, the Son of God, who can redeem us, not just from illnesses, not just from diseases, but from death. And that is the ultimate healing that He brings. So put your hope and your confidence not just in getting well here, but in being well for eternity. Hope on the Lord Jesus Christ for your future. He's the one who is going to restore us, the image of God in us, raise us from the dead, give us life eternal. That's the really exciting healing that is going to come to those who love Jesus Christ and call Him their Savior.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.